Oh, we have a wonderful audience this morning. Glad you've come to be in this service. Appreciate so much the visitors that are with us. We have some from down at Louisville, Kentucky. Glad to have them and other places, I'm sure, wherever you're from. You're our honored guest, and we trust you'll be able to come our way again in the near future. It's always good to have brethren come and worship with us here at Knollwood. Now tonight, the brother Randy Blackaby will be preaching. As you know, they're moving to Kokomo, Indiana, where he'll be preaching for the church there. And I thought it would be good for him to preach to us before he left. And so I said, you can preach anytime you want to. And he said, well, let me have it Sunday night then. So he'll be speaking to us this evening, and we're looking forward to hearing him tonight. I was thinking this past week as to what to preach this morning, and I came up on a subject that caught my mind and interest, and I decided to talk on this, and it's the cities of refuge. And in the 20th chapter of Joshua, we have these cities identified or enumerated. Now, as you know, brethren, the children of Israel was given Palestine. And the Levites didn't have territory. They didn't occupy land by that, like Judah and Reuben and Gad and Naphtali and Issachar and so forth. But they were given cities, 48 of them. And among those cities were the cities of refuge, and there were six of those. Now, you had three on each side of the Jordan River. In the north, in Galilee, you had Kadesh and Naphtali. And then in Ephraim, you had Shechem. And in Judah, in the south, you had Hebron. Now, on the east side of the Jordan River, you had, in the south, you had Bezer, and that was in Reuben. And then you had Ramoth in Gad, Ramoth in Gilead. And in the north, you had Golan in Bashan. Now, there seemingly is a connection between these and what we have in Jesus Christ. Typically speaking, if this is not a type of what we have in Christ, at least these illustrate what we have in Jesus Christ. The older I get, the longer I preach, the more I'm seeing types and shadows in the Old Testament. In fact, it's full of them. I have a book in my library that's a thick book that deals with the symbols and shadows and types in the Old Testament. And perhaps this is a type. Each city describing what we have in Jesus, because each one of these cities means something. And you've got a Young's Concordance, you can look them up, and out the side, these cities are identified. That is, they are explained. Now, when we look at this in reference to Jesus Christ, here is Kadesh, which means holy. And here's a refuge, brethren, for the unclean. Now in Hebrews 6 and verse 18, the inspired writer says that we to flee for the refuge, for the hope that is set before us. And so here's a refuge we have in hope, in Jesus Christ. So in Kadesh, in Jesus, we have a refuge for the unclean. Now let me explain these for just a moment, as they were used in the Old Testament. When a man accidentally killed a person, unawares or unwittingly. These cities were provided for him that he might flee to them so the avenger, the pursuer, could not take his life. Then he was judged there by the elders, and if found innocent, he was permitted to stay there until the death of the priest, and then he could return home with impunity, you see. Now, if he were guilty, he was turned over to the avenger. But these were provided for refuge for the children of Israel during that time. And they are typical, at least they illustrate what we have in Jesus Christ. Now, as to Kedesh, which means holy, we have in Christ a refuge for the unclean. Now, man is polluted and tarnished and defiled with sin. As James 1:27 says, keeping oneself unspotted, untarnished from the world. In James 1:21, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word, which is able to save your soul. There's a description of the sinner in the book of Isaiah in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, that I want to share with you. Isaiah, speaking to Israel, said, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises. He's talking spiritually now. And putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Here is how God looks upon the sinner. Now I want to tell you, brethren, there's a refuge that we have in Kedesh, as it were, in Jesus Christ, the Holy One. In Acts 3 and verse 14, Peter said, but you denied that Holy One and just, you see. So Jesus is the Holy One. In Acts 2 and verse 27, thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I permit or suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, here is a people who were degenerated, who were enmeshed in sin, who had committed everything that can be imaginable as far as sin is concerned, and yet they were cleansed, they were sanctified. Look in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 6. And Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Then he says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind. That is a sexual perverts. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you have been washed, or you are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I want to tell you this morning, friends, there is a place of refuge in Jesus Christ. He is our Kedesh. And the unclean have a sanctuary there. Are you listening to me? Number two is the word Shechem. And that word means shoulder. Here's a refuge for the weary traveler. Now, what do you think of, or what do we think of, when we hear the word shoulder? Support. Jesus is our support. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, when it speaks about thy son is given, the child is born, and the government shall be up on his shoulder. Jesus, friend, is our leader. He is our guide, and we as our people depend on him. We don't know the way. I remember what Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, and also verse 6. And open your Bible, if you would, to that section. But in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Man can't know the way. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we need to trust the Lord. Here's our shoulder. We can lean upon him. And in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he, listen, he shall direct thy paths. Now, friend, who are we going to lean on? Who are we going to have for support? How are we going to see our way through this world? How are we going to be able to go to heaven? Through Jesus the Christ. He is the Shechem in whom we have refuge. I've got a book on Proverbs written by David Thomas. It's an excellent book. And here's what Thomas says in regard to Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Man is a trusting creature. He is always leaning on some object. This trusting instinct, like all the other instincts of his nature, has been sadly perverted by a wrong direction. Everywhere man is leaning on the unworthy, the unreliable, and the unenduring. Hence his constant disappointments and confusion. And indeed, that's so, brethren and friends. Hence, we need to let the Lord lead us and protect us and provide for us. He is our shoulder. He is our Shechem. But the third thing, the third refuge, is Hebron. And that word means alliance, company, fellowship. It's a refuge, that is in Christ, is a refuge for the homeless. Man is spiritually a homeless wanderer. He needs company. He needs fellowship with God. You look at the prodigal son in Luke the 15th chapter, and that's a great message. It shows the love of God, his interest in his wayward children. And here was this father who depicts God and the son who is the sinner, who leaves his father, who leaves Jehovah. He goes off into a foreign country. He spends all of his money on riotous living. Here's the degradation of sin. And he finds himself in the hog pen and would eat the husk that the swine did eat. And he came to himself, the Bible says. He had no one with whom he could associate. He had no company in that foreign land. And he thought to himself, in my father's house, even the servants, they have more than me. They have food. They have bread to eat. He says, this I will do. I will arise and go to my father. And he says, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And when he came back, his father was looking down the road. And I can just see the scene now. He saw his long lost boy returning. And here he went out to meet him. And he embraced him. And he put the robe on him. And he put the ring on his finger. And he said, kill the fatted calf. For my son was lost. And now he is found. He found a refuge, you see, friend. This homeless boy had come back. And indeed the sinner has a place of refuge in Jesus Christ. There's a song I like to sing. We sing it here often. It's number 366. If you'd like to open, look at it with me. It's entitled, There Is a Place of Quiet Rest. Near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest. Near to the heart of God, there is a place of comfort sweet. Near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet. near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. Man is away by sin, alienated, enemy in his mind by wicked works, Colossians 1 and verse 21. Separated from God by sin and iniquity, Isaiah 59 and verse 2. And Jesus is saying in that great invitation hymn that we sung through the years, come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. And Christ today is saying, come home, and I'll give you communion and fellowship and the company, and you can have an alliance with me. And I remember what John said in 1 John 1 and verse 3. When he talks about, you have fellowship with us, we have fellowship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 7, if we walk in the light, he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son cleanses us from all sin. Brethren, we have a place of refuge. We have a home in Hebron. We have a home in Jesus Christ. But as we cross to the eastern side of the Jordan River, in the tribe of Reuben, there was Bezer. And the word Bezer means stronghold or fortress. Jesus is a place of refuge for the helpless. Man is not only a sinner, but he is helplessly lost. There's nothing he can do for himself apart from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look inside, when we take inventory, we can say with Paul in Romans chapter 7. If you have access to your Bible, open there with me for just a moment, and let's begin at verse 19. And I picture this before Paul's conversion. And here was a struggle that was going on inside his heart. In verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul says, I wanted to do good, but sin had control. And when I wanted to do good, I couldn't, because evil seemed to take over. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now listen to this. In verse 24, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Wretched, miserable man that I am. And sin makes you that way. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, we may enjoy it for a while. It may be delightful. But sometime, somewhere, someday, it takes its toll. Oh, wretched, miserable man that I am. But look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, in other words, who freed me from this bondage in which I find myself, this misery, this wretchedness, Jesus the Christ. Let me tell you, brethren, there's a refuge for the helpless in Jesus the Christ. We were wretched and vile, lost and undone, but Jesus reached out his hand and said, come, I have a refuge for you. The grand old song that we sing, safe in the arms of Jesus. Listen to its words in part. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptations, sin cannot harm me there. free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears. Only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. In that song, we're safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptations, safe from the blight of sorrow, safe from the doubts of fears. And I might add, we're safe from Satan and all of his forces, and finally, safe from eternal damnation. Safe in Christ Jesus, brethren, is our Bezer. He's our refuge for the helpless. The word Ramoth means height, elevation, exalted. And here's a refuge for the hopeless. Jesus is exalted at the Father's right hand. Ephesians 1, 20 through 23, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but the world which is to come, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 22, when he talks about that we're baptized, you know, we're saved by baptism, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he entered into heaven at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and angels. Here's the exalted Christ, and we can look up. He's our hope. In this world we have no hope. If only in this world we have hope in Christ, we're men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. But Colossians 1, 27 says Christ is our hope. He's the hope of glory. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle by God and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. In Ephesians 2 and verse 12, when the apostle describes the condition of the Gentiles before coming into Jesus Christ, he says, at that time you were without Christ and without God and without hope, as well as strangers from the covenants of promise and foreigners or aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But we have hope in Jesus Christ. And if you're downcast and feeling yourself hopeless in the world, look up. Jesus is a refuge for you. He is Ramoth. He is exalted. He's a refuge for the hopeless. You see what we're talking about, friend, as this typifies, or at least illustrates, what we have in Jesus Christ. And when we take these as a whole, it sums up what we have in the Lord, what he provides for us. And as we look at these individually, we see characteristics that we have in Jesus Christ and the features that we have in Christ. He's our Ramoth. Finally, at the top, he's our Golan. And that word Golan means circle. A refuge in Christ for man's inefficiency. You see, when we think of circle, we think of completeness. Everything is complete in Christ. In Colossians 2 and verse 10, Paul said, you are complete in him. Man could not provide that. And you look at verse 8 of Colossians 2, and he talks about, let no man beguile you or deceive you with philosophy and vain deceit. And the rudiments of this world, which are not after Christ, those things cannot satisfy. They cannot provide salvation. They are the wisdom of men, but we are complete in Christ. And whatever is in God is in Christ. Verse 9. In whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily. I'm saying, brethren, that Jesus is man's refuge for his inefficiency. We can be complete and sufficient, all sufficient in Jesus Christ. All blessings, Ephesians 1:3, are in Christ. Not in the lodges, not in the churches of men, not in the clergy so-called, not in governments, not in science, not in education. And if you're out in the world and you're tired of Freud and Darwin and Nietzsche and Kant and a host of others, then we need to flee to Golan, to Jesus Christ. He's our refuge. But the time I have remaining, I want us to spend just a few minutes as to the characteristics of these cities and our salvation. There's some interesting things about these cities of refuge. One is that the road into them was smooth and plain. So ways were prepared. They could get into them, you see. And you read this in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verses 2 and 3. The way to Christ is plain. There's a way of holiness. There's a highway in Isaiah 35 and verse 8. It's a very simple, easy way, and the Bible reveals it, divulges it to us on the pages of Holy Writ. And we want to know what to do to be saved. We can go to the Great Commission where Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We see it exemplified in the book of Acts. There are guideposts and signposts along the way, even as there were then. And I want to tell you, friend, God hasn't left us in the dark as to how we become our children, his children, or get into these cities or into the city of refuge. The road was smooth and plain. Number two, it was accessible to all. I go back to Joshua for just a moment. In Joshua 20, and it begins enumerating in verse 7, these cities. And in verse 9, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, and whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. What do we have, friend? We have God opening up to all, black and white, red and yellow, every nationality, man and woman, boy and girl who's accountable, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, I don't care who it is, has access to refuge in Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, verse 19, go teach all nations. Titus 2, verse 11, the grace of God that appeared hath brought salvation unto all men. Revelation 22, verse 17, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The third thing about these cities is they were supplied with water and all kinds of provisions. Everything we need for our soul's welfare is found in Jesus Christ. I want you, brethren, to open for just a moment. I want us all to see it. I want us all to read it if you have access to a Bible, to Philippians 4 and verse 19. This is a text that we all need to take to heart and believe with all of our mind. Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's supply never runs out. The abundant riches of God. And we can keep drawing on them. Every child of his, every individual can gain access to this reservoir of God's riches. I want to tell you, we're amply supplied in Jesus Christ. Fourthly, the gate stood open night and day. They never were closed. And this man who took a life unawares, a manslayer, could flee to the city, and if it were in the wee hours of the night, the gate was open to the city and he could go in for refuge. You think of what we have in Christ. The door is open all the time for everybody. Jesus opened us, Revelation 3:7, and no man closes, and he closes, and no man opens. The invitation of our Lord is always timely. He's saying to you, come, and I'll give you rest. But there's another thing, and that is, it was dangerous to delay. The person who refused or hesitated to go to one of these refugee places, one of these cities, could be overtaken by his avenger and killed. When we consider Jesus Christ and the salvation of our souls in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, now, N-O-W, is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The saddest words, and listen to me, lost. Oh, what a cry from souls along the shore, in darkness to go, in sorrow and woe, and be lost evermore. It has not dawned upon us, many of us, brethren, what it means to be lost. We can take it as a grain of salt. It has no effect, no impact whatsoever upon the hearts of multitudes, but lost forevermore. Never to see the brightness of day, never to be reclaimed by God, never an opportunity in eternity to hear the gospel invitation, never the good news about Jesus and his love and his resurrection. Never will we see the people that we love through the years who died in the Lord. Now, I remember years ago, Brother James P. Miller talking about the scene that he came up on in a way to a meeting as he was riding a train. It's back during Second World War. Up in the night, he happened to look out his window. And here was this young soldier who had evidently his wife embraced. And then he released her and got on the train. Jim said, I wonder if he ever saw her again. It may have been the last time that he ever saw her, that he ever held her. And the point that he was making, that it could be the last time that you'll ever see a loved one, because it's very possible that any one of us could go out into eternity today unprepared to meet God. Lost, oh, what a cry from souls along the shore. We need to hasten. Let me say this in conclusion. Heaven has done everything possible for our redemption. And if we're not saved, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. All things are ready, the gates are open, Jesus awaits, but you must enter. And there's a statement in Psalm 46, verse 1, that I've used through the years at funerals. And this is one of the great texts in the Bible. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And that's so. There is, brethren and friends, a place of refuge. Let us flee and go into the city. Go into Christ. Let us taste. Make haste and do it now. As we sing this song, if you're subject to heaven's call,
will you come, will you please lay hold upon the hope that's set before you? Father, together we stand by the ship.